Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. So let me take this opportunity to thank all of you for your encouragement and your prayers as I gradually recover from knee surgery. It's very much appreciated. Thank you all. So today we continue with our theological sermon and Bible study series on the Presbyterian distinctives. And last Sunday, we heard Reverend Dr. Tom Harvey speak on the centrality of God's Word. God as light for our lives, God's Word even as a vaccine of a sort against the darkness of evil in the world, because God is the source of Scripture's inspiration and authority, a truth that is equally valid today as it was in the time of the New Testament. And the rest of the theological sermon and Bible study series on the Presbyterian distinctives, as it were, is pretty much built on the centrality of God's Word. Because it was through the Reformers' return to the sources of the Word of God and the writings of the early church fathers that led them to uncover the precious truths about what it means to be a Christ follower, about what it means to be a Christian, about how we are to be discipled, and even how we ought to be church. So this and the next four sermons and Bible studies will cover what is commonly called tulip, and it's literally the Dutch flower, tulip, or the 5 points of Calvinism. And of course, while Reformed theology is way deeper and much wider than tulip, nonetheless, tulip does help us to summarize our understanding of God's grace as demonstrated in His redeeming us from our sins. So the T in tulip stands for total depravity of mankind. And so I want to, at the beginning of this sermon, get this out there, all right? Because many people misunderstand this doctrine. In fact, this doctrine is the scene and the background for many arguments all around the field of Christianity. So the doctrine of total depravity does not mean that every human being is as bad or as wicked as we could be. Okay? And actually, the truth is, our day-to-day experience shows us that. And that is why this misunderstanding leads to many, many arguments. So, you know, in this day and age, right, where every day, if you look at the news, there's some kind of internet scam or some sort of widespread cheating going on. Yet, our common experience, as in, for example, one day when my wife and I unexpectedly encountered a very gracious and generous person. You see, we were taking a couple break at one of our favorite locations, favorite because of a few factors like cool weather and quietness and that sort of thing. And so we were at Fraser's Hill in Malaysia when Debbie discovered that her spectacles, right, the screw was loose and almost falling out. And those of us who need to wear glasses, you know how terribly inconvenient this is. When that tiny little screw goes missing, everything goes haywire, right? You can't even see anymore after that. And so we went to the only souvenir shop open that evening, hoping to buy one of those, you know, mini spectacle screwdriver sets of some sort. And of course, it turns out that the shop did not sell any of these. But the shopkeeper was very kind, because when he found out what we were looking for, he offered to lend his own set to us. Remember, we were total strangers. In fact, as far as he was concerned, right, he might never see us again for the rest of his life. But he offered to lend us that set out of kindness. And he had only one request. His single request was, please return it before you leave Fraser's Hill. Very simple. That evening, I journaled a moment of gratitude to a God. Why gratitude? Because gratitude for having met, by God's providence, a generous person willing to go the extra mile, willing to even suffer loss. Because even as we enjoyed ourselves at Fraser's Hill, we could easily pack it away and forget about it and try to figure out in a month's time how to mail it back to this guy. So the doctrine of total depravity does not mean that every one of us is as bad or as wicked as we could be. But this is what total depravity means. It means that the fall in Genesis chapter 3 was so, so serious that sin affects every single facet of our human nature. Sin affects every facet of our human nature. So sin thus affects not merely a person's will, but also their affections, also their mind, also their body. So let's commit this time to God, shall we? And I want to invite you, if you're able to, please stand and join me in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, as we ponder your word today, we ask your Holy Spirit to write the truth of this passage on our hearts, Lord. Father, would you illumine our hearts? Illumine our hearts, Lord, so that we would be able to understand, apply, and even live your word wholeheartedly. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So do turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And notice that after introducing himself to the Christians in Rome, Paul now exposits the gospel to them, including the theme, I believe, of his letter, the righteousness of God as revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he launches into the reason why humankind needs the gospel, why we need to be justified by faith. And the reason we need the gospel is simply and basically because humankind has sinned against God. How have we sinned? Many people ask. If you were speaking to somebody on the street and you talk about sin, the person will be like, no, I never sin. What? I pay my taxes. I send my children to school. I look after my parents. What are you talking about? The concept of sin can be very hard for many of us to acknowledge. So Paul now explains, starting from verse 19 to 20, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Throughout creation, creation's majesty, intricate design, beauty, order, and even that gift of conscience, even in a world already subjected to sin, God has revealed himself. Through whatever has been created, God's attributes have been revealed. Theologically, there is a term for this. It is called general revelation. Thus, verse 19 and 20 basically argue that ever since the creation of the world, God has revealed himself through his creation. And thus, we have no excuse at all. But despite God's general revelation of himself and his divine attributes, human beings' response, all of our responses, left much to be desired. And here I would like to share with you, and I want to ask you to observe a pattern, a so-called pattern that happens over and over again. All right, what is this pattern? You find that mankind exchanges God for something else. Paul now reveals the item that we exchanged God for. And notice what God does next. He gives mankind up to that item, since you prefer it, as it were. And then you find the result of that exchange. Okay? So, you see in the next few verses that Paul now describes our sinful responses as a series of willful exchanges. Willful exchanges. And to help us grasp the weight of what Paul is writing about, when you consider the word exchange, think of preferring something else. Sorry, please excuse me. So beginning with verse 21, that although people knew God, although people have experienced God's glory through his general revelation, it becomes like this, right? You consider God's glory, you take it to the pawn shop, and then you trade it in, you exchange God's glory for an idol. You take God's glory, you examine it, but now you prefer the idol to God's glory. Whether it's a golden calf or whether it's some contemporary idol such as money or sex. And so you trade in God's glory, rejecting him and discarding him, like trading in your old worn-out car for a new exciting model, except later on you learn that the new exciting model is rusting from the inside out and you actually have a piece of junk. And because choices have consequences, by rejecting God, human beings now become futile or foolish in their thinking. And our minds became dark and confused. And in this darkness and confusion, they exchange away the amazing privilege of worshiping our glorious and ever-living Creator God, preferring to choose to worship mortal creation. So instead of glorifying God, mankind chooses the inferior image of created things. And because choices have consequences, God now gives them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, and the result is that they now dishonor our bodies among ourselves. And in verse 25, Paul changes the contrast. From the Creator compared to the Creator's creation, Paul now contrasts between God's truth and a pack of lies. So remember verse 21, where the rejection of God results in a darkness and confusion of the mind. Again, choices have consequences. So instead of receiving God's truth with thankfulness, mankind in our darkness and confusion prefer lies. Mankind exchanges away the truth of God for lies and end up worshiping creation, end up worshiping created things instead of God, our Creator. Consequence, God gives them up to dishonorable passions. The result of the exchange, the worship now of the created order, the worship of things, including shameful lust. And the pattern carries on because choices have consequences. The spiral continues downwards. The exchange of truth for lies leads to worship of created things instead of the Creator. And here Paul highlights the worship of sex and sensuality, which has its proper place in the purity and sanctity of marriage. And yet, sex and sensuality now becomes something to hunger after outside of such purity and sanctity. So you find that mankind now exchanges natural God-given sexual relations, preferring unnatural sexual relations. And here I know that I need to interject pastorally for the benefit of all of us here this morning. The Bible is not homophobic. Paul is not homophobic. We need to be clear about that. Here, Paul is not condemning people who are struggling with gender identity, gender dysphoria, or even same-sex attraction. Okay? Paul is not condemning any of these. But here, in Paul's writing, he is calling out the sin-affected disobedience that gives rise to sexual sin. In other words, sexual acts and sexual activity that is carried on outside of a monogamous, committed marriage. All right? Let's get this clear. And the consequences of our sinful choices is that God now gives them up. Back one slide. Thanks. God now gives them up to a debased or a depraved mind. The result of the exchange, a debased or depraved mind, which now seems to celebrate sex of all sorts, choosing to disregard God's righteousness. as revealed even in His Word. And so the end result of these exchanges is a debased mind which has a terrible celebration of sin. So the doctrine of the total depravity of humankind explains why these exchanges repeat itself over and over again. Because every part of ourselves, our will, our affections, our mind, even our body, has been affected by sin. And because sin affects every aspect of a human being, our relationship with God is broken, our relationship with the rest of creation is damaged, and that's why Paul goes on later on in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, telling us that none are righteous. No, not a single one. So John Calvin puts it like this: all parts of the soul were possessed by sin after Adam deserted the fountain of righteousness. Sorry. All parts of the soul were possessed by sin after Adam deserted the fountain of righteousness, to the extent that the whole person is overwhelmed as if by a deluge or a flood, as it were, from head to foot, so that no part of any one of us is immune from sin. So the hard truth is that as a result of depravity, as a result of total depravity, mankind prefers garbage, as it were. We exchange away the glory of God, we exchange away the truth of God, we exchange away the fulfilling relationship of sex within the sanctity and purity of marriage. And we exchange away all that God Himself has given us, including God Himself. We exchange all of that. We pawn or even trade it in, as it were, the blessings that God has given us in exchange for literal garbage. So the story is told of this young boy, Conrad Reed, 12 years old, went fishing. And then he discovers this unusually colored rock. Fascinated by the colored rock, he lugged home this 7-kilo rock. Don't know how he did it, probably with friends or whatever. He lugged home this 7-kilo rock. And then what did he use it for? He used it as a doorstop. So imagine this 7-kilo rock used as a doorstop. So his front door never slams, lah. It's always secured. Some years later, his father, John Reed, finally succumbed to curiosity because he's like, why does this rock look like this one? It's very, very interesting, right? Brings it for evaluation. The person examining it recognized it as gold because it was a 7-kilo gold nugget, one of the largest found. But the person that recognized it as gold didn't tell him that it was gold, so bought that lump of doorstop for mere peanuts, US $3.50. But in case you start dissing $3.50 is not the cost of a Big Mac. Okay, $3.50 in those days was the equivalent of a week's wages, lah. Okay, to be fair, it was the equivalent of a week's wages. Brothers and sisters, may I lovingly suggest, as your pastor, the exchanges we had looked at today, exchanging away the glory of God, exchanging away the truth of God, exchanging away the fulfilling sexual relationship meant for the sanctity and purity of marriage, is literally like John Reed selling away that giant 7-kilo gold nugget, not recognizing its value, not recognizing its great worth, preferring to receive an absolutely inferior but immediate gain of US $3.50. Literally less than a thousandth of its true value. Our choices have consequences. And the doctrine of total depravity means the doctrine of total depravity means that on our own, we can no longer appreciate God, we can no longer prefer God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 tells us we are dead in sin. And just as physically dead persons cannot help themselves out of the grave. Common sense, right? If I'm physically dead, I cannot help myself out of the grave. Fallen people, because of total depravity, cannot rescue themselves from their own guilt and depravity. Which brings us to the fourth exchange that our passage today offers us. Because God in His gracious love has not given up. So turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. In other words, the two sentences that's just before what we read today. Here we find an invitation to a fourth exchange, but this time instead of a downward spiral of willful disobedience, we are given an upward invitation to eternal life. Here I believe we find Paul's thesis statement for his letter to the Romans. He states up front that the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. In the gospel, we find the righteousness of God, which is revealed from faith for faith. We do not need to continue in that downward spiral of willful disobedience. We do not need to persist in the ever-worsening choices and consequences of living apart from God. So the fourth exchange is that by God's grace, He has made a way for us to be rescued from this pointless downward spiral away from Him. Instead, He has made a way for us to be rescued from the death and punishment that was for our sins. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we are now considered righteous before God. On the cross, Jesus exchanged the garbage of our sin for His righteousness, because fallen people cannot rescue themselves from their own guilt and depravity. So while the doctrine of total depravity is very difficult and extremely humbling, very hard to receive, because it is bluntly honest, revealing the truth of ourselves, yet the doctrine of total depravity is actually salvific, because it tells us clearly that you and I, we need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. In my previous life, I was a doctor, and in medicine, the diagnosis of a disease is vital. Put it this way, wrong diagnosis equals wrong treatment. Simple, right? I go see a doctor, maybe Zheng Wei over there, and then he thinks that my heart attack is actually gastritis. Game over. The doctrine of total depravity is actually correct spiritual diagnosis. Because the human condition is not just a matter of, oh, I need to go to church more. Or, oh, I need to read the Bible more. Or, oh, it's about time I paid my taxes. No, total depravity reminds us that every fiber of our being has been affected by sin. And nothing less than the radical cure of Jesus' life and death on the cross and subsequent resurrection can be enough. Today we are reminded that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the question that I have for you is that, are we ready to make this better or wiser exchange? God is asking us, will you trust in Jesus Christ, my only begotten Son, who has given His life so that you should not perish, but have eternal life? Would you be willing to exchange the wrath of God for the righteousness of God? Today is the day of salvation. Would today be the day you respond to our Lord Jesus in faith? For those who would like to respond to God's invitation to exchange His wrath for His righteousness, would you quietly join me in prayer? Whether you're online or here with us, I want to invite you to join me in prayer. Okay? Let's pray. Merciful, loving God, I know that I am a sinner. And Lord, I want to ask for your forgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose from the dead, and I believe that, Lord. I want to turn from my sins. I want to invite you to come back into my heart, to come into my heart and my life. And I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and as my Savior. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, let's all rise to join our hearts in prayer, shall we? God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, that it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, not from our own doing, but a gift from God. So, Lord, would you help us as your children to avoid these same destructive patterns in our lives, crowding you out with other things, preferring other things to you. Lord, we pray for your grace. Help us, Lord, to seek your righteousness, to prefer you and you alone. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing for the hymn of response.